back and forth until it pulled the rib cage in here and suffocated them to death. Many but death. It just remembered it. He said there's three ways that the devil will try to destroy a church. Now, I want us to go over those three things tonight, just in case, okay? Just in case. We might not even need some of this, but won't hurt to be. It never hurts to make sure, you know. Never hurt. I'm real protective over this place. I've always been protective about this church. I would fight, literally, somebody over this church. I would stand up for any church member that we got. I'd stick my, and have, stuck my neck out for me. There's been a lot of time when somebody'd say, boy, you got a member down there, it ain't what they're supposed to be. And I'd say, now, wait a minute. I know so-and-so, and I know he's not perfect, but I know he's a man, he's trying, he's saved by the grace of God. I'm real protective over this church. And I don't think the pastor should be the only one like that. I think everybody should stand up for their church. A church that ain't worth standing up for ain't worth going to begin with. I mean, if you're out in the community ashamed of where you go to church, there's something wrong with you. Amen? Oh, you going to go back to New Manna? Boy, it's my wife. She drags me over there. Oh, come off it, man. If a church is worth going to, it's worth saying, yeah, it's my church. There's a lot of people that claim to go here, don't even go here, and make them look good. Try. So tonight, I want to give you those three things that Brother Ed said, or whatever, and see what you think about them. Number one, I'm going to explain these things as I go. He said the first thing the devil will try to do to destroy a church, he will try to distort the message. He'll make you preach false doctrine. The second thing the devil will try to do to destroy a church, he'll try to destroy the messenger. In other words, if the devil can't make you preach false doctrine, he'll try to kill the preacher. And if that second plan don't work, the devil's got one more plan. Plan number one, distort the message. Plan number two, destroy the messenger. Plan number three, disturb the membership. And that's all the attack the devil needs to attack any church and hit them on anyone. Some churches never get past that first stage. They got off in false doctrine years ago and never have got back on the right track. Now thank God tonight we've got our message right. I believe tonight that we preach the truth. Years and years ago when we first started this church, we had to settle some things. I remember back with down in the old building, there had to be some things settled. And I had to take a stand. I had to take a stand on some things that I didn't know how people was going to act. And I remember one Wednesday night up in the old building, we started at 7 o'clock, and boy, we got off on some things. And Lord in mercy, we went till nearly 10 o'clock at night. Now I want everybody to keep a seat now. I want nobody else getting up, okay? Stay in your seat here and listen real carefully to what I got to say. Better watch them voices like that. And brother, I tell you what I done. I settled some things and we said, hey, we believe this and we believe that and we believe the other. And I believe that God Almighty directed us into preaching the right message. I believe that if any group of people really want the truth, that God will give you the truth. I believe any individual that wants it bad enough can have it. I believe the reason people are deceived, because they don't really want the truth to begin with. And if a man will get down and say, God, I've got an open mind, I've got an open heart, show me what's right. God Almighty, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, will show you what's right. I remember years and years ago, when we first started, we settled this issue of believing that the King James Bible was the Word of God. That's never been a problem in our church, and I'll tell you, I still believe that exact same thing tonight. I don't believe it had a mistake in it the night we first started up yonder in March the 26, 1977. It's been nearly 13 years later. I still don't believe that there's any one mistake in the blessed book of God. I believe we got a book here that will get the job done. I believe we got a book here that's just as powerful and potent and real as it ever has been. I believe them words on them pages will get up and walk with you as you go to work and go to school. I believe the old book has still got God's words in it. Hey, if anybody ever asks you, at this church, we don't believe the Bible contains the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We don't believe in divine inspiration of the plenary inspired original manuscript necessarily. We believe in divine preservation, that we have the Word of God in English in its present form to God's people as they are. We settled that years ago. As far as I know, God ain't changed His mind. As far as I know, God still got His word right. And buddy, there's some things in there. We settled the issue of eternal security years and years and years ago. The devil tried to get us off, you know. You know, when I first started preaching, I didn't know what I believed. And I was open. I was honest. And I said, God, show me the truth. I studied every doctrine. I've been to every kind of meeting. I've been to meetings where the guy that's up preaching had the hair way down on his back, and it was slick as a little greaser hair, you know, and he was a healer. And he'd come out like this, and he'd hold a microphone like this while he preached, and he'd jerk a big brush every few minutes ago. Sling grease looked like back through there 2 or 3 feet. And he'd say, I see a big demon hovering over this part of the congregation. And it's a one-eyed demon hanging over. I don't know what it was. But that's what they had a guy in there give up smoking one night. And he come down there. I don't know if he gave it up or they took it away from him. But some old fella come down the aisle and he got down praying. And some there's a beating him. Some of them are beating him over here saying, hang on. Some of them over here saying, let go. And somebody grabbed a pack of cigarettes and threw it. It went sailing off across the sun. I said, Lord have mercy, what's going on here? And I mean, some of them old women could get in the Holy Ghost and do that hell, you know, do that dance like that. And I enjoyed that. I got a blessing out of that. But I said, God, what's right? God, show me what's right. God, show me what's right. And I got down in there, and all the denominations have scripture to back up what they believe. The Free Will Baptists have scripture. The Methodists have scripture. The Presbyterian have scripture. The Church of God has scripture. And I said, God, what's right? And I remember years and years ago, I settled it in my heart. I came up here and I preached it up there in that building, and I still believe the exact same thing tonight as I did then. And I believe when you're in the body of Christ, you're in there for good, and God Almighty's going to take you to heaven. Brother, He may have to beat your britches off to get you there, but you're going, brother. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Did you know we're in the minority for believing that? Did you know there's only 2 denominations in the world that believe that? Baptist and Presbyterian. All the other ones think we're wrong. They said just a handful of people believe that compared to all the religious people in the world. But oh, thank God the devil didn't distort the message. No, sir. We're right on our balance on soul winning. We're right. There's no doubt about it. Did you know? I doubt if you know this, but you are sitting in one of the few churches in America that has, I believe, the right balance on the King James Bible and bus ministry and soul winning all together. You see, it's almost impossible not to go off the deep end on things. It's almost impossible. And if you'll notice, every church seems like it goes overboard on one certain thing. It goes to seed on something. And I had a preacher in Florida tell me not long ago, I believe it was Brother McGahee who I was talking to. He said, you have got the balance in that church. He said, you have the King James Bible and you believe the books, the Word of God, and you also have a bus ministry in house. Now, most of the guys that believe the King James Bible, the Word of God, a lot of them, all they talk about is the King James Bible, while the world goes to hell. And that ain't right, brother. brother. Then some of the other ones that just soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, they ain't got their Bible straight, and that's wrong. But you're sitting in one of the few churches tonight in America that has a balance and said, we want to win souls to God, we're going to knock on doors, we're going to bring little boys and girls to church, but yet we're going to stand on what the book said and preach it to them just like it is. The devil couldn't distort the message. Believe me, he's tried. I've had groups of preachers down through the years try their best to put in their clique. And they say, what group are you in? I said, I ain't in no group. We're an independent Baptist church. They said, well, you got to be in one group or the other because you'll wind up not having no ministry. I got more to do than I can do. I had one tell me back in 1982. He said, if you do that, it'll ruin you. One told me on the phone one time. And he said, Danny, if you believe like you, he said, it's going to ruin you. He said, you got the makings of a great preacher. And you could go places. And all that, but that's what they told John the Baptist before he went down there and poured his finger in the king's face, see, and told him he was living in sin. And I said, no, brother, I ain't out to make a great preacher. I just want to do what's right. I just want to do what's right. And boy, I try to start. I got more to do than I can do. Lord, if I ain't got a ministry now, I'd sure hate to have one because it'd kill me. I'm telling you tonight, friend, we tried to stay balanced and we tried to stay on that thing. Listen, on this matter of soul winning. Did you know a lot of churches go overboard to wherever Tom, Dick, and Harry they meet? They grab my hand. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Oh, hallelujah. You'll say, that ain't the way we believe. We believe that a person's got to be under conviction. We believe the Holy Ghost's got to birth you into the family of God. But we don't believe the Holy Ghost does what we're supposed to do either. Say amen right there. We ain't been saying enough amens. I'm going to preach a sermon on why our front row is so quiet lately. Come on, boys. And second row. And third row. And boy, I noticed that a lot of you don't ever say amen no more. Do you feel like it? Now, you need to get right with God and say amen when the truth is preached. Amen? Hey, one of these days you'll be up here preaching. You'd sure appreciate somebody hauling off once in a while and saying, amen, brother. Come on, shout a corn. Preach it. You'll sit there and they'll dry up on you and you'll feel bad. So, well, I tell you, the devil tried to get us off balance, but he could not distort the message. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. You know what a man told me the other day? I was up in the hospital visiting, and I went in to see this fellow. I don't know what's wrong with him. He didn't act like nothing's wrong with him. And I used to witness to him. He lives near here, street here. And you know what he told me? I started asking him, was he going to church, you know, and everything. He said, well, you're still doing good down there, Danny. And he said, he looked at me and he knows what's going on in Marion. He said, I remember when y'all started down there in that little building. I kind of got tickled at it. He said, I remember when you started down there, people around up in this part of Marion said, what's he trying to do down there? A church can't be had in that old building. They said they give us 90 days. And I said, is that right? I said, yeah, some of them said that. And some of them said, we're not going to help him. And he said, I just wonder what some of them people think when they ride by there now. Amen. And you know, I got a question out there. I said, wonder what they do think. Wonder what they thought when they saw the FCX come tumbling down. Amen. I thought the FCX would be here till the millennium come. Somebody said, have you ever tried to buy it? I said, Lord, that place won't never go out of business. We called and made them an offer and they took it. And we bought the feed store and tore it down. And then you're sitting on top of it right now. You know what this used to be down here? For some of you new ones that's come in the last year. You know what used to be right here where you're sitting 40, 50 years ago? A tannery where they tan hides. Ain't that wild? That's right. That's what this was. Right down here, they used to shoe horses and tan hides right in here. I said, God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. The Lord knew that's what this place is supposed to be. The Lord said, we just got off of horses and got on humans. You need their hands tied and tans hide worse. They need their tans had. They need to hide their tan. They need their hides tanned more than horses do. Amen. So what we got here is a spiritual tanning booth, brother, where you can come and get your soul blistered for the glory of God. Now I tell you, the devil tried to distort the mess. You know what that fellow in the hospital told me? I got a kick out of it. He said, it's a mystery how you survived down there. I sit there thinking, it ain't no mystery, brother. That's God Almighty. I'm amazed. I was amazed this morning as you were. There's been person after person said, what a service. What a there was people come from every direction this morning wiping tears. I don't know. Boy, them ladies must have been a praying in there. Or something. Boy, God was all over this place. There's the people got right with God right and left. And you know, that's God. You can't explain that. I ain't stupid enough to think I got anything to do with that. If God does that, it ain't because of me. It's in spite of me. I'm just an old piece of clay, brother. And I would hinder the work of God if anything. That's God building. Sometimes it scares me to watch what God does in this place. It does. It scares me. Sometimes I think, oh God, this can't happen. And the Lord just says, just up and stand back and watch. And God does it that we might fear Him and glorify Him. It's the Lord's church. And He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I don't know if you know it or not, but when we started church, there was preachers tried to get up a petition to stop it from even starting. I ain't never told you that much. I had every hotel in the world told on me from people trying to stop this church from getting off the ground. I knew God was in it from because of all the opposition and the devil. He's fought this thing tooth and nail. It seems like the more he fights, the more it grows and the more God blesses. It's wild, man. I can't figure it out. I keep thinking, God, if I could ever get right, if I could ever get right. God, if I could ever get right, I could preach. And the whole time I ain't right, He's just blessing and saving souls. And a blessing like crazy. I just have to say to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. But the devil tried to distort the message. He'll try to get you off balance. I've had some. They would love for me to kick the bus minister out. Because they think you're some kind of wimp, you know, if you believe in the bus ministry. They say, bless God, I don't believe in that. I say, well, bless God, just don't believe in it. Because the book teaches going to highways and hedges, and we're going to do it by the grace of God. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. We're going to do it anyway. That's the way God wants it to be. But yet we're going to stand and preach the book to them and stay straight. The devil ain't going to be able, by the help of God, to distort the message. Be surprised how hard it is when you know everybody to keep from being swayed. You'd be surprised. It's so easy to go into another church and preach. When I go off somewhere and preach and don't know nobody, I can just haul off and have myself a time. You wouldn't believe how hard it is, isn't it? I look across here, I know something on every one of y'all. If anybody in the world wanted to cause this church trouble, I could do it. I know enough on the people in this church to tie it all to pieces if I told everything I knew. But God's forgive you, and I forgot about it, or trying to, and I ain't going to mention it by the help of God, and I want the work of God just to go on. The devil tried to distort the message. We're right in our approach on salvation. We believe that God deals with a man, but it's up to that man whether he'll come to God or not. God Almighty, you hear me? God Almighty does not pick out a certain few to be saved and save them against their will. That ain't right. God said, whosoever will can come unto me, and we will not be drugged into the false doctrine that John Calvin and his followers taught, that God only going to save a certain few. That's heresy. That ain't the Bible, in the Bible. Amen. We will not be drawn into the modern day so-called Holy Ghost movement, where everybody seems to get a gift and get their minds off souls while the world goes to hell, and you can live any old sinful, wicked, ungodly, worldly way in the world and still claim you're full of the Holy Ghost because you speak in tongues. We will not believe that. That's not the right doctrine. You name anything you want. We're right on this issue of this coming of the Lord. Did you know, brother, it's not popular to believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. It's not popular to believe in the premillennial coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're right. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to tell you something else. on this recent issue of divorce and marriage. We're right on their issue. There's no doubt about it. We're right. The book backs us up. We know what we're talking about. Now listen, on that issue, you know, we're going to face storms and we're going to face trials, and our church will be caught under fire just because of me and the situation that I'm in. But brother, we're going to be just like one little B-52 bomber flying into about 100 others, just like that. You know why I know we'll win? Because God is for us. Who can be against us? And the ones that are just will wind up regretting it one day. You mark it down. We're right. We're right. We don't have to make brash, bold, smart aleck, hateful, mean statements, because we got the Word of God to back us up. Amen? We are not, we've got a lot of people in this church that have been through a divorce and are in your second marriage. I will not. I don't care how mad some people get. You can look down your nose. You pout. You can cry. You can jump up and turn flips if you want to. I will not treat those people as second class Christians and look at them like they're half sinner, half adulterer type of attitude that a lot of Christians look at. Hey man, they're either with God or they're living in sin. One or the other. Take your pick which one you believe. Don't get quiet on me now. Don't get quiet on me. But I'm here to tell you, we're right. You don't ever have to be afraid if you've got the truth. But the devil couldn't distort the message. Amazes me how some of these people, they'll go to some of these churches and the pastor, well, say, I don't believe in that. You go off down here and let the liberal preacher marry you. But then come back here next Sunday. We want you tithes and offerings and pat you on the back. Baloney. Baloney. What a hypocrite. Hey, man, somebody's living in sin. They got to be blown to church. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, it's time. You know what we're going to have to do? We're not going to let the devil distort the message. We've always preached that. Ain't planning to change. Second thing the devil try to do, he'll try to destroy the messenger. I don't think anybody here that's been here over 5 years would deny that that's been going on. The devil's trying to kill me physically. I'll never forget that day when this thing almost crashed in on me. I don't know why God, I believe God let it happen. Well, I know He let it. Like Bruce said, reckon God knew that was going to happen. I wish He'd have told me. I like to have a heart attack. I'll never forget that day. I walked in here and I was so proud. I thought, glory to God. It's going up. My dream of 9 years. Woo! Well, I come in here that morning, it was cold. It felt like this morning. The wind was blowing. And I was standing about right here. And I thought, boy, when they get them trusses up there, it's going to look like a building. That's when it starts looking like a building. It was just walls till they got them. And these things, did you know that these trusses over your head tonight are so long? They're 80 feet long. And the longest you can possibly get, they said, out of wood was 96. And the man drove all the way up here from Winston-Salem to take pictures of these things. That's how unusual wood trusses are 80 feet long. Eight made out of 2x10s and two by tens and 2x8s. And buddy, 500 pounds each, and these 56 of them started over there and set them 2 feet apart for 2 feet going this way. See, that's why the front of the building looks like this. And the ceiling's flat. And the reason we made the ceiling flat so we could put a balcony in here, because if it done like that, we'd have wasted all that room. And boy, those things were up there, and I come through here that morning, and there was an electrician right up there on top of that wall, right in the middle where them rocks are. Two of them up there straddled the top of the wall, and they was working on some wires and stuff, I reckon, for them lights. And there's another fellow on the other side where the nursery is, back in that section on that corner. I was the only one in here. And boy, the wind was just a whipping like it was this morning. All of a sudden, I heard something crack, and I looked up like this, and those things started turning over like dominoes, just pow, 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 pow. They was falling 500 pounds each. And just, I don't know, I guess it was God
I didn't run side. I didn't try to get over here and hide. Some reason or another, I just took off running that way. That wall wasn't there, and I just jumped out that door. And as soon as I hit the ground, I just hit the ground like this, and they crashed in behind me. Maybe a second and a half. I tried out of here. The last seven of them stayed. If those last seven would have fell, it would have probably hit me. 49 of them were just like toothpicks in here. Wood was this deep on the floor. And when I hit the ground out there, I turned around and looked, and all I saw was wood. Knocked this feller down. I thought it killed him. He's laying over here. I come running back in here saying, "Oh, God, no. God." And I'll never forget, I was going through some other dark trials at the same time. And it was cold in early February or late January. And I stood out there in front of the church, out there at that little building where the construction crew headed out. And it was all I could take. I started bawling. And I said, "God." Doctor was over here working on this fella. Police cars pulled in. People was coming from everywhere. Ambulance lights flashing. Here come the newspaper reporters. Say, "Brother, Mr. Castle, what did the blah, 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 you know, stuff like that." And somebody said, "Is this the devil trying to kill you?" I said, "I don't know. Is God trying to tell you something?" "I don't know. Still don't know." And as you know, I've had my brake lines cut on my car. Cut or took loose on both ends. One morning I come down to my driveway. By the time I got to town, I noticed my brakes wasn't working right. About a year and a half ago. I took mom up on Buck Creek to see my sister. And I didn't say nothing to her because, you know, Mom, she would die riding with me. I didn't tell her all the way up there I didn't have no brakes. And I went out while we was up at Sandy's. Well, up on the mountain, up on wet by Triple C campground, up on past Lake Tahoma. And I went out there and checked my brakes. And I said, "Lord, I've leaked all my brake fluid out." All the way back down the mountain, I just get down whenever I wanted to slow down. I got down there at Pleasant Gardens and pulled in there to the store. And I said, "Mom, I ain't got no brake." "What?" I said, "Mom," and I didn't want to tell you because I knew. "You mean you come down that mountain, these youngins in here, you're going to kill us?" I said, "Mom, it's all right. We're going to make it. I'm going to go in here and get some brake fluid, and I'm going to pour it in there." But I poured it in there, and it wasn't all right. And I took it up here to the mechanic. I said, "I'll leave it. Come back and get it late this evening." I come back and got my car. He said, "I had that fixed just a few minutes after you left." I said, "Really? What was wrong?" He said, "Somebody took it loose." I said, maybe it jarred loose." He said, "You got a brand new car, man. It was a 1988. He said, "These things couldn't jar loose on both ends. Toyotas don't do that." I said, "You mean some idiot's trying to? That's what I mean. The devil himself has tried. I've had people come up and tell me, 'You don't need to pastor a church.' I had a lady tell me uptown one morning, said, 'God wants you to be an evangelist.' That way I knew for sure God didn't want me to be." He sure wouldn't told her. Amen. Amen. But that's what she told me. That's before we ever started the church, or right when we started, I believe. And since then, I've had people tell me right now, said, I've heard people say about me, they're chicken to say it to my face, said, "He ain't fit to be in a pulpit because he can't control his own home." You know what I said? I said, "You come and check her out, son, to see if it ain't under control." Amen. 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 Hey, brother. My kids is in church every time the doors are open. We keep the rock music out of the house. The filth is out of my home. We pray before we go to bed. Brother, we read the Bible. My kids are taught in the right way. Let me tell you something, brother. My house is more under control than it's ever been. You know what that is? That's a devil trying to destroy you. I'm getting plain. I'm going to get a little bit plainer. Get a little bit plainer. They say the ideal preacher has finally been found. Teaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down.
He condemns sin, but never hurts anybody's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of work, from preaching to taxi service. He makes $60 a week, wears good clothes, buys good books regularly, has a nice family, drives a good car, and gives $30 a week to the church. He also stands ready to contribute to every other worthy cause. He's 26 years old and been preaching for 30 years. He's tall and short, thin and heavy set, plain looking but handsome. He has one brown eye and one blue. High parted in the middle, left side straight and dark, and the other side wavy and blonde. He has a burning desire to work with the young people and spend all his time with the older folks. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor, keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all his time evangelism the lost, and is never out of his office. He's a truly remarkable person, but he does not exist. Devil trying to destroy the messenger. Then I want you to notice one more thing the devil tries to do. Now listen, I'm going to prophesy. I ain't a prophet, but I'm going to try one here. When we first started, the devil tried every way in the world to mess up what we preached. It didn't work. Then for about the last 10 years, the devil's tried to kill me. It didn't work, or it hadn't yet. Guess what the next thing will be? I can tell you where you're going to get hit next. He'll disturb the membership. Oh yeah, you know what he'll do? He tries to say, well, I'll make old Danny preach false doctrine. He wouldn't do it. Well, I'll just try to kill him. It didn't work. I know what I'll do, the devil says. I'll get in so-and-so and get in so-and-so and get in so-and-so and get in so-and-so. He'll try to just cause for confusion and division and trouble in here. He'll make you sit here and put all kind of crazy thoughts in your head. He'll make you think wild, crazy things. The devil, hey, I better not do that. You know what the devil will do? The devil, he'll put the wildest, craziest thoughts in your mind about your brother or your sister or your church. Or he'll tell you you're not saved. You know what he'll do first of all? He'll try to cause confusion and problems in your home. He'll get wives to fussing and a fighting with each other and throwing things. Listen, brother, your church can never be more spiritual than our homes. And we at home and then come in here and the glory come down and be in our midst. We've got to have a home that'll please God before you got to have some peace, glory in the home before you'll have any glory at the house of God. And the devil will cause you so much trouble at home where husbands and wives won't even speak to each other and a fussing and a fighting all the time to get you defeated. Yeah, I know how he works. He'll get you to say, why'd ever marry you to start? Oh, shut up. Get ready to go to church. You ain't no shape to worship God. Time you get here in that kind of shape, that's what the devil, keep your eyes and your mind on her and not let the devil get in and ruin your home. He'll do it. I've seen more people get out of church for family trouble than any other one thing. It just seemed like that's something you just can't get over. Once it happened, don't let the devil cause trouble in your home. He'll make you wives say, well, old so-and-so don't love you. And the devil will tell you your husband ain't. He's running around on you and all this kind of stuff. And your home's done. You just might as well just break up and get a divorce and all that. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He'll cause you more trouble than you'll ever get out of. You know what else he'll do? He'll get you after you get here. He'll get you after you get here. Sure will. He'll make you get mad because some woman in the nursery was hateful to your little rat. That's right. See, the devil do stuff like that. Listen, brother, we got good ladies in our nursery that love God and love them kids. There's not one woman in our nursery that would ever mistreat it. No, I know the people that go here to church. You think I'd let a child molester back there in the nursery? I'm telling you tonight, my dear friend, the devil will hatch up all kind of crazy things. You know what the devil will do? He'll get on you. I believe one of the preachers in the Bible comes. He'll say, did you know so-and-so ain't spoke to you in a long time? Well, they're mad at you. Well, you don't like, I don't like them anyway. I never have liked them. Well, and the first thing you know, that's why every once in a while you ought to mingle around and speak to people that you ain't spoke to in a long time, because their hard feelings will begin to develop. You don't even know why they're there. And you say, well, if she's not going to speak, I'm not going to speak. And it just gets bigger and bigger, and it ain't nothing. There ain't even nothing there. I'm telling you, the devil don't like. Are y'all hearing me tonight? He's up there swarming around here every Sunday. He don't like these kids coming down here and hearing about hell. He don't like these people coming on the altar and confessing their sins. He don't like what's going on here. He'll do everything in his power to stop it. There's nothing in the world the devil would rather do out that camp than to get some of you ladies at each other's throat and get in a big fuss to hinder what God's doing out there. I'll tell you what I'd do. By the grace of God, I'd think about what's at stake here. And if somebody in this church wronged me or talked bad about me before I'd cause trouble over it, by the help of God, and I practice this, I ain't just preaching it to you, I'd say, dear God, there's people all over this country looking at our church. And there's sinners out here in this community. There's religious people out here, lost religious people, that would like nothing better than to hear that this place just went and tore all to pieces. They'd love it. They would love it. They'd get the biggest blessing out they've got in years. Oh, boy, I knew it wouldn't last. They'd love to hear it. I'm just bound and determined that they ain't going to get to do that. And brother, we need some people in here that'll take that same attitude. You say, oh, brother, preacher, I wouldn't let the devil use me to tie up a work of God. I'd just rather keep my mouth shut and swallow some things I don't like. And maybe, and amen, am I missing something somewhere? Or is that the truth? For the work's sake, for the work's sake. I don't like the way Bruce combs his hair on you do. But I know that there's people out here in this community. I can see them now. Boy, I heard they had a big fight down there at New Manna. The pastor and the associate got in a big fuss. I knew there's a bunch of hypocrites. All that's just what the devil wants. That's the devil wants. I'm telling you tonight, my dear friends, he'll try to disturb the membership. Now I want to say something right here. This, we might need it, we might not. Listen to me, ladies. You listening? I know of several ladies in our church that will not speak to some other ladies. I can go put my hand on you right now. And I want to tell you something, friend. You listen to me, ladies, now, and you can pout and blow up and get mad and stick your lip out all you want. That is not the Holy Ghost leading you to act like that towards your sisters in Christ. God, the Holy Ghost, He don't like that. He's like, well, you don't know what she done. I don't care what she done to you. If somebody's your sister in the Lord and you snob and turn your nose up and turn away from that person, won't speak, you know what you need to do, sis? You need to be down here on this altar asking God to get the demons out of your heart. You heard me, didn't you? You heard me. If Sam owes me $5 and he don't pay me when he's supposed to, I ain't going to tear the church up over it. The church worth more than my $5. Forget it, man. Forget it. God will make up the difference to you. If somebody has talked about you, if they have cheated you out of something, if they have done you wrong, get your feelings off your shoulder. Ask God to help you. Just bring behind. You know what I want? So everybody ask me, what do you want for Pastor Appreciation Day? Some of you ladies to make up that won't speak to each other and act like you're about more than 5 years old. I can't hear you. Well, I'm just like the first. Well, come down here and ask God to clean the demons out of you. The ghost don't make a person act like it. There ain't a person in McDowell County that I can't walk up and say hello to. Not a one. And if you're right with God, there ain't one you can't. And if you can't act like a Christian, you need to get right with God. You problems. And I want to tell you something else too. When we first started out, I never have let the women tell me what to preach and what not to preach, what I can do and what I can't, and I ain't about to start to now. Amen?
I know there's some of you don't like some things I say. I'll tell you what you better do, sis. You better just shut up. If you ain't guilty, that won't bother you a bit. Let me show you some scripture tonight. Let me show you some scripture. You think I'm just being hard on women? Listen to the Bible, to the book of Numbers chapter 12. Now the Lord gave me this, so if you don't like it, you just have to take it up with Him. I said, God, I don't want to preach that because somebody will think I'm mad at them. I have no idea who's guilty here and who ain't, but the Lord laid this on my heart and I'm going to give it to you. God's always blessed me when I've done that, and I believe He will again now. Numbers chapter number 12. I was reading this the other day, and the man of God was spoken again. Now, I'm nothing. I'm not saying I'm... But if God's got me here as the preacher, for your own sake, for your sake, you better watch your mouth. I'm saying it because I love you and want to help you. Look here. Miriam and Aaron... That's Moses' sister and brother, spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian. Now, Moses' brother and sister spoke against him. You know, he had that other wife over yonder somewhere. Then he married this Ethiopian woman, and Miriam and Aaron said, well, Moses, you should have done that. And you know what God done to her? Didn't do nothing to Aaron, I don't reckon. Look at verse number 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. You know what they done by running their mouth? They made the glory depart. The problem wasn't the woman that Moses married. The problem was them running their mouth about it. Amen. Now, I imagine that was hard to keep quiet about. I mean, really, what if I got up here next Sunday and I brought a black woman out of that room right over there and I said, folks, I went out and got married this weekend and I'd like for you to meet my wife. You would die. Wouldn't you flip your lid if I'd done that? I'd be like that one fella that got married, you know. He said, told his wife after he got married, he said, honey, there's something I didn't tell you before we got married. And I really should have, but I just didn't want you to know I'm colorblind. She said, you sure is, honey. I'd make that guy maybe. Now, you say, Brother Daniel, hey man, what color you think an Ethiopian is? Green? Married a black woman. You say, that ain't right, is it? No! I don't believe it is. I mean, God didn't say nothing to him about it, but I don't think it was. But you know what business that is of mine? None. And look what God done to, what's her name? Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked on Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Hey, now, I don't care if he's 16 years old and God told him to preach yesterday. You better keep your mouth off of God's man. Amen. For your benefit. Hey, have you ever noticed when you have me over at your house to eat and stuff that I will not say nothing about another man of God? If I have to, I'll give my judgment. But you'll never catch me just putting them down just for the fun of it. You ain't going to catch me doing that. I don't want God turning me in. I don't want getting sick over it. I don't want having to be put in the hospital over running my mouth about the preacher. I ain't that stupid, buddy. I'm telling you, that thing goes all the way through the Bible like that. Let me show you another one in Acts chapter number 5. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter number 5. I'm talking about the devil disturbing the membership. Now, don't get excited. I ain't going to marry no black woman. That's just illustration the Lord gave me. If I ever did decide to get married, y'all be the first to know it. Don't get excited. The rumors you've heard are not true. Acts chapter 5. Verse 38. Here's what you got to do. And then I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Tell you something.
Can I talk plain just a second? Dr. Jack Hiles has went through a battle in the last 2 years. He's been accused of adultery. He's been accused of running around a woman in his church. He's been put in the newspaper, on TV. Preachers have canceled him. He's been rumors around. All of brother, Dr. Hiles stood and told the truth to his congregation and explained the situation. And the tongues got to wagging. And there was one certain preacher who put it in his newspaper and blasted that thing all over the country. It was all over Bob Jones University. There was another evangelist that jumped on the bandwagon and tried to destroy Jack Hiles. Now, let me tell you the results of that little deal. The church, Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, has never done better. The crowds are bigger now than they've ever been. There's more people being saved now than there's ever been. I heard a friend of mine say, went and heard Dr. Hiles preach a few weeks ago, said he's got more power on his preaching now than he's ever had. The fellow who wrote the article about him is going blind. The other fellow who's an evangelist is all but out of the ministry and can't even get a place to preach. You better watch your mouth. With a tombstone! If I thought something was wrong, I'd pray about it and I'd keep... You know what? I'm worried about some of you ladies. And the reason I'm so worried about you is because you're so worried about me. I want your prayers. God bless you. You pray for me till doomsday. And I love it. But please shut up about going all over the community saying, I'm so worried about my pastor. Lord, that'll make people think I'm getting drunk and everything else. We don't need that. Amen. I want to tell you something. Acts chapter number 13. I'll show you nothing here. Acts chapter number 13. I didn't say, I don't know if it's going to rain, but I'm just getting the clothes in. Just in case. Acts chapter 13. Boy, it's got a hold of me the other day of reading. I said, Lord. The apostles were preaching here and people's getting saved right now. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought the word might be preached in the next Sabbath. Now, look at verse 43. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. They just about had everybody in town come hear them preach. Did you know, it's not true, but our church has that reputation. Everywhere I go, some preacher from Washington, up around Washington, D.C., and some other places had said stuff like, they ain't but 3,500 people in Marion, and 600 of them goes to his church. They've got a fifth of the town going to their church. That would be just like a church in Charlotte having 20,000. What our church is in Marion. And they said, it's amazing. Almost the whole city. Now, we know that ain't true. I mean, we know there's 25,000 people sitting at home in McDowell County. We ain't near good as they think. But that's the way they think. I mean, I ain't stupid enough to think we ain't setting the woods on fire. But almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God the next Sabbath. I'd like for it to see it be that way here next Sunday. But verse 45 said, look at this. When the Jews saw the multitude, when them old Jewish preachers and Pharisees saw them crowds a-coming, buddy, they were filled with what? What does your Bible say? When them Jews saw them crowds of people, they saw them camels parked out there in them parking lots of that synagogue and them old horses and buggies, they went, I hate them guys. We can't get nobody come hear us preach. And you know what they done? And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. They went around saying Paul was a false prophet and they didn't like this and they didn't like that. They done everything they'd done to try to convince people not to listen to that preacher. But look what Paul done. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. I mean, they jumped right back in their face and said, hey boy, this is the book. But look what happened. Verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Verse 50, but the Jews stirred up who? Devout and honorable women. The Jews stirred the good women up. Where your problem comes from is the good women in the church get stirred up.
The bad women don't care. Now, we've got a bunch of good women in this church. We've got women in this church that I wouldn't trade for any women in the world. But that don't mean you're perfect, and that don't mean the devil can't get in you. Y'all are listening to me, ain't you? Boy, some of y'all are looking mighty sober. But I'm telling you,
the Lord laid this on my heart to tell you, and I'm telling you who you got to watch out for. The most spiritual women in our church will get the devil in them. Now see, that don't mean you can't get in touch with God. That don't mean you can't pray. That don't mean you can't see great and mighty things happen.
But where it happened, those Jews, the outsiders, will stir up the good women in the church and cause trouble in the house of God. Nobody's perfect. I got my faults, you know them. And so do you. There's some of you women in here, you couldn't put a cigarette in your mouth for $1,000. Somebody couldn't pay you enough money to drink a beer. You could not be paid enough money to run around on your husband. You could not be paid to walk down the street in a bikini. And thank God for it. All you women ought to be like that. But you better watch the devil. He'll get in you in the back door in the way you're least expecting him, and making you think you're better than everybody else, and get self-righteous, think anybody disagree with you and anything is wrong. Amen, Brother Danny. Preach on, brother. That's right. Amen. Go! Thank you. Now, you know why preaching like that's needful? Because you don't get that out of a sermon book. You get that from praying and studying the Word of God. That jumped out and grabbed me. I said, God, it wasn't the whores out on the street that the devil stirred up. It was the devout and the honorable women.
Just a little warning. Just a little warning. I'm not mad at you. I don't even know if anybody's guilty of this. Just a little warning. Don't you sit there and say, well, he's just talking about me. He's mad at me. I don't even know who I'm talking to. I'm just saying it because the Lord laid it on my heart to say.
And I'll feel good when I go home tonight. If I had a man working for me, if I hired one of these boys to come mow my grass, and I said, I'm going to pay you by the hour this summer, and then two or three of you came down there and started bothering him, and one of you other little boys jumped in front of a lawnmower, or you threw a rock in front of him, or you grabbed him and hindered him, or you pecked him, or aggravated him, or messed up his hair, I'd finally come down there and say, hey, this guy's working for me. Keep your hands off of him. Let him get the work done I've called him to do. Did you know that's the way God is about his preacher? You better not mess with somebody God's got a work to do with. God's give them a job to do. It's a dangerous thing. I'm saying that for your benefit. I'll tell you what. I've never seen nobody jump up and get mad and leave the church that God ever blessed. I've seen a lot of them that God called out and done a great work, and hallelujah, boy, I can't wait till God puts these fellows here, missionaries, preachers, hallelujah. But you mark it down. This crowd that pouts and jumps up and says, well, God ain't in that kind of behavior. God ain't in that kind of behavior. I love you as your pastor. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to tell you this in love. God ain't in that kind of action.
Holy Ghost don't work like that. Man, if I ever did decide to leave a church, I'd want it in good spirits, in good understanding, and love everybody and say, God wants my church to send me out. Amen? There's somebody, I talked to a lady one time, she's giving me down the road. I mean, just blessing me out. And that usually happens. I ain't never had a man say nothing to me hardly. It's always the women. They get all the time telling these phone calls, you know, to bless you out. You know the Lord ain't calling him to do that. The Lord ain't in these women calling up people fussing at you.
She said, well, Brother Daniel, I just blah, 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 blah. And she started on me and I said, whoa, here sis, whoa. I said, now wait a minute now, let's get settled. Am I doing something wrong?
Well, I just like this, I just don't like that. And I said, now wait a minute.
I know how you feel, and I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I can't please everybody. I try to do what's right. I said, am I doing something wrong? She said, no, not really, but I just don't like it. And I said, now wait a minute, sis. Wait a minute. If I am sinning against God, show me in the Bible where I'm sinning. I'll go to the altar and get it right. That's more than I can say for some of you. Amen. Amen. There's not one person in this room that can take this Bible and show me one sin in my life. I'll get down here and I'll ask God to forgive me. I promise you. If it's gossip, let's get it right. If I told you a lie, I'll get down here and I'll ask God to forgive me. If I owe you money and I ain't paid you, I'll go borrow it. If I owe and pay you, anything I'm doing wrong is a sin, I'll get it right. But if you got a different opinion than I do, just keep it to yourself. Amen? Amen? I can't hear you. That's how the devil will try to divide the membership. I may not like the color of shoes you wear. May not like the color you paint your house. Somebody said the other day, they said they used to tell, preachers used to drive by and say, I know who's got that old one-eyed demon in their house because they got them devil ears sticking up on top. Somebody said, well, hallelujah, they can't tell no more. We got cable. Now I'll tell you what, brother. If the book says it, let's go to the altar and pray it out. If the book don't say it, keep it to thyself. Fair enough? Amen. There ain't one person in here to say, Brother Danny's sinning against God and it's in the Bible. Come on, show it to me. Show it to me. I'll get down here and ask forgiveness. And I told this one sister, I said, Sis, am I sinning? She said, well, no, not really, but I just don't. I said, oh, what you're saying is you just don't like what I do, right? And she said, no, I don't. And I said, well, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I said, every time somebody don't like anything I do, am I supposed to just bow down to every little old thing anybody says? Am I supposed to just say, well, am I sorry? Do you not like this? Oh, I'm sorry. I won't ever wear these boots no more because they are ostrich in, you know. And did you know ostrich skin boots cost $600? Didn't know I was so rich, did you? But there's a catch to it. These boots were bought as a gift for me. I didn't pay for them. And they're only half wheel, which means that's $240. Still the most expensive pair of shoes I've ever had. But you say, well, I don't think a preacher ought to wear boots that cost $240. I'm sorry. I don't think a preacher ought to be bought. No, I'm just kidding. Hey. I see you's doing a lot of things I don't think you ought to do. I don't think you ought to lay out of church like some of you do. But you know what? I realize we're human. We're sinners saved by grace. And brother, if me and Bruce have a disagreement, I don't think you men ought to wear beards. But it don't make me think you're sinning. That's just my opinion. You know what that means? It don't mean nothing. I think all the men in the Bible had a beard. I think Jesus Christ had a beard. I'd probably think bad of him if he's here. That's how wicked I am. I ain't right on that. But wouldn't you think weird to me if I come out here and I had a big beard here in about 2 weeks? Brother Danny's got a beard! Where's in the Bible that says it's wrong? It don't, right? It ain't a sin to have a beard. Some women like them. Nasty things. And I could name a bunch of other stuff. I think some of you women wear way too much makeup. I think some of the clothes you wear don't look decent. But I mean, I ain't got nobody in mind when I say that except my daughter. And I tell you what, I fuss at her. A lot of things I think y'all shouldn't do. I don't think y'all be out running around in the hall, running your mouth while John's in here teaching Sunday school. See, you'll start this mud-slinging sign. It can go both ways. I want to tell you tonight, that's what the devil tried to do. I ain't going to let him do it. I'm going to love you in spite of it. I ain't going to let him use me to cause trouble in the church. I ain't going to do it. By the grace of God, I ain't going to do it. There's nothing in this world between me and any of y'all. I love y'all more than I ever have. I consider it an honor to be the pastor more than I ever have. You better remember, there's three things the devil will do. He'll try to distort the message. If that don't work, he'll try to destroy the messenger. If that don't work, he'll try to
do that other thing. Mess y'all. Disturb the membership. You've heard this illustration. I give it and I'm through. Preacher got on an airplane. I'll tell you this and I'm through. I know I took a lot of time tonight. Coming back from Florida to Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. He sat down on an airplane. Or a lady sat down on an airplane. She was a Christian school teacher. There was a lady sitting in front of her. The steward had come back through there and she said, offer this person something to eat. And this woman said, no thank you, I'm praying and fasting. Well, that made an impression on this Christian lady, and she leaned up and pecked her on the shoulder and said, ma'am, I just heard you say you was praying and fasting. I just want you to know that was a blessing to me. I'm a Christian too. And that woman looked back at her and she said, you're wrong. I'm not a Christian. She said, well, I don't understand. You told the stewardess you were praying and fasting. Why'd you say that? She said, I belong to Wicca. That's W-I-C-C-A. Witchcraft Incorporated. Church of America. She said, we are praying and fasting to the devil. And she had a list of preachers on that list. She said, we are praying and fasting. The devil will send demons and destroy fundamentally, she could have preachers' homes, cause their wives to leave them, cause their kids to rebel, and destroy them. And of course, a chill come over them. She said, my God, the house of the Lord, politicking and having preacher for supper and roast preacher for Sunday afternoon, and they're out there praying for the devil to come and destroy the man's home. And that's been about 5 years ago. There has never been a time in America when more preachers' kids are rebelling, families breaking up. Brother, we're getting attacked from hell.
There ain't no doubt in my mind that the attacks on me has come straight out of hell. I can feel it. I can feel it. I know that I'm fighting something bigger than I am. I know there's something on Sunday morning when I get ready to preach. Sometimes it feels like something's just pushing against me. I can feel there's a power trying to stop me from doing what I'm doing. I know there is.
And I tell you what. You know what we got to do here, starting in our after 13 years of ministry here? It's like there was a car out there in the parking lot that wouldn't start. And there's three or four of these fellas standing there. And the guide and says, hey, I believe if you can push me a little bit, I can jump it off. And they're pushing. And they're pushing. And I want to say, hey, fellas, I'm not going to stand here and criticize you. Let me get in there. My knee to the ground. And get in there and help push that thing. Now listen, that's what we got to do here, folks. The world's against us. There's people in McDowell County. They are just waiting. You've heard all the rumors about me being run out of town and me having to leave town and me out behind the lake drunk and me, you know, you've heard all that stuff, ain't you? You know what? They're just waiting for something like that to happen, for me to flew the coop, you know, or something terrible happen and me get run off. They're just waiting for that. Just for old time's sake and the glory of God. We ought to just drive our stakes down deeper. Ignore the gossip. If we lose some friends, I'm sorry, but just keep on plugging away, getting people saved, winning people God, driving them buses, having them invitations, and just ignore the opposition and plow, man, plow. Just plow a straight row for the glory of God and just let the devil rat and rave if he wants to. And everybody just get behind that and just push. Push. You know what I want for Pastor Appreciation Day? Everybody to push. That's all I want. You couldn't do nothing for me that I even think about. If you gave me $1 million, hint, hint, it wouldn't thrill me like that. I mean, I know you can't give me $1 million. We ain't got $1 million. If you give me $100, it couldn't even begin to thrill me
like every person in this church saying, all right, I'm putting my shoulder this thing. I'm going to witness. I'm going to work. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to join the ladies in the prayer room. I'm going to join the men in the prayer room. I'm going to fast. I'm going to see my church grow. Stand for the Lord in these last days. The greatest thing could happen to McDowell County. Let's stand.